Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at theopenhouse.net.au blog site.
You know, in the frantic pace of modern life, whether we're in the city or the country or at school or at home or in the workplace, how can we relate to God meaningfully? That is the premise behind this series on spirituality for busy people. Robin Wrigley Carr is helping us explore what has been called the spiritual disciplines, these activities that can help us draw closer to God. And I guess to put some balance back into our lives. Robin's back again. Hi, Robin.
Hi there.
Last week, we looked at the spiritual discipline of prayer, which I thought was quite interesting, particularly what you talked about C.S. Lewis saying, is we bring the real I to God and we speak to the real thou. This week, we're taking that a step further. Many people who read the Bible will know of the portion of the Old Testament called the Psalms. You're suggesting that we don't just read those as information, but we can actually pray them.
Yes, absolutely. You know, since the age of 16, I've actually set the Psalms to music. So I would just plonk the Bible up in front of the piano and I'd just start writing music to the Psalm and then I'd sing them. And I was just drawn to doing it. And it wasn't really until I studied at Regent College under Eugene Peterson that I realised that what I'd actually been doing in singing these Psalms, in composing music to these Psalms, was that I'd actually been praying. I'd been joining in with how people have prayed for centuries. So the Psalms were the prayer book of Israel. They were the prayer book of Jesus. More people have learned to pray through using the Psalms than most other means. And it's really only in the 20th century that the Psalms weren't at the centre of the corporate practice of prayer. A lot of church communities were always using the Psalms. And, you know, the way that you can tell that the Psalms were written for a community at prayer is, if you've ever seen in the Psalms, they have this little word, Selah. Which means pause or think on this. So, you know, Psalm 39, each man's life is but a breath, Selah. Just
stop.
Pause and
think about that for a bit.
Yeah. Or we have instructions about instrumentation. So, you know, Psalm 5 might say for the flutes. So these Psalms were meant for a community at prayer. They weren't meant to just be scripture that we read and just store in our heads. And I think that these Psalms teach us how to answer God. So if we think of God as having spoken through his word, the Bible, the Psalms are like an answer to God and our response. And it was Athanasius, this 4th century theologian, who said that most of Scripture speaks to us, but the Psalms speak for us. So I think the thing about the Psalms that's different is that they can teach us how to answer God. They can teach us how to pray. And I'd advocate not just reading them, but actually getting in there and actually
praying them as well. Interesting, we so often think of those as just a nice, maybe some lyrics to a song or just some sort of little letter, or King David when he was frustrated one day writing down something in his journal. Yeah. Much, much more than that. What can praying a psalm do for us that maybe a regular prayer, extemporaneous prayer or whatever it might be, doesn't do?
Well, I think in my own experience of praying, the Psalms help me to get less self-focused and become more God-focused. They take us beyond our own struggles to God. And I think one of the ways that they do that is that, you know, 2/3 of the Psalms are lament or, poor me, woe is me, complaints, whatever. Mm. And the interesting thing is that even though 2/3 of them are laments, all of them except one actually end up praising God or end up at some point in the Psalm saying, life sucks, but you are God. And so they take us from this pit where things might be hard and actually take us to a place of actually praising God. And the one psalm that doesn't end in praise is Psalm 88. And it actually closes by saying, darkness is my closest friend. And perhaps there are some of us for which life actually feels like that. And so that's an authentic psalm to actually have in there.
Resonates with what we're experiencing.
Yeah, exactly.
They don't just identify with us, they actually guide us.
Yeah, exactly. They take us further. And I think also they can help us pray more gutsy prayers. So in Psalm 7, it's got this bit that says, arise, O Lord, you know. And it's this whole idea of, come on, you're God, you know, do your stuff, go for it. Come on, answer this prayer, you know.
We're waiting, we're watching.
Get on with it, you know, exactly. It's very expectant. It's kind of a bit punchy as opposed to a sappy little prayer. The Psalms are also, they're poetic. So they're full of things that we can see and we can touch. So when I used to live in Vancouver, I'd look up these gorgeous mountains, and I just say from Psalm 18, you are my rock, you are my rock, you know, just looking at these mountains, you God are my rock. And the Psalms are just full of this beautiful imagery. You know, I'll just give you a couple of examples. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. Or this one here, I have become like broken pottery. I mean, it's just such powerful imagery.
It's quite concrete, isn't it?
Yeah, the mountains melt like wax before the Lord. Oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. They're full of very poetic language, and so I think it can draw us in. You know, even just this morning I was singing one of these psalms that I wrote maybe a decade ago, and I was just playing and singing this line, "You make my path level, you make my path smooth." And I found that I just had tears rolling down my cheeks because I think I realised, you know, with something that I'm uncertain about with regards to the future at the moment, the reality of those words was just hitting me like a ton of bricks. You make my path level, Lord. Like, there's nothing to worry about. You know, this is a promise from the Psalms, but it was just so true and real to me. So what do the Psalms give you? Well, I think for me, they help me be less self-focused and more God-focused.
We can really wallow in our own pity, and these actually take us on. I like that.
They take us further. And it's this whole idea of taking us from "this is hard, Lord," to "and you are God.
And you are big.
Yeah, you're doing stuff now. Yes. Give me eyes to see it."
Anybody who has read the Psalms will also know that there is some real raw emotion there. You've got people like King David, you know, saying, "Slay my enemies," and, you know, "dash them against rocks," and all of these really kind of... Which Psalms can we do this with?
Well, you know, I think that we can pray all the Psalms. I mean, the Psalms help us to be honest in our prayers. Sometimes it's hard for us to pray who we really are. So we think that we've got to be a certain way when we come to God in prayer. We've got to be nice. We've got to be whatever. Mm. And the Psalms help us pray our pain. They help us pray our hatred and our anger and get beyond it rather than just have all these things wallowing within us and not be able to go to God with those, you know, very strong feelings.
That's interesting. So you actually think that these more angry Psalms can kind of almost get it out of our system?
You know, I'm no therapist, but I do think that we need to be honest before God. Mm. So I think it's very easy for us to think it's not okay to be angry. Mm. And so, well, I can't express my anger towards God either. So what actually happens is that you actually gently shut down and there isn't intimacy there because you're not being honest about what's really going on. I mean, the interesting thing is that sometimes when you do pray some of these negative emotions, you find that you break down in tears and then come to say, "Lord, thank you for hanging in there with me." Hmm. So it can take you beyond that. I think with some of these psalms where, you know, King David's getting angry or whatever, this might feel a bit of a foreign emotion for where you are at the time. But if you read the papers or see what's going on in the news, you might see that, you know, there's an injustice that's happening in Kosovo, or there's someone that's in great pain in your local community, and you can almost find their place in it and pray it on their behalf, which is helping us to get beyond our own needs but actually pray for world situations and for other people that are in pain. Mm.
So how do we practically do it? Open up our Bibles, we pick a psalm, well, then what?
Well, I don't think there's any great magic technique to it. One of the key things I'd say is that you read them out loud. We're very good at skim reading. You know, we see so much print. We're in a print-saturated culture these days, and so you don't read the Psalms, you don't pray the Psalms the way you skim the headlines of a newspaper. If you read them out loud, it actually slows down your reading. You're absorbing it with your eyes and with your ears. So hearing it just slows it all down. When we were talking about this at Regent College, Eugene Peterson used to suggest praying the Psalms for 10 to 15 minutes. Hmm. So you just open your Bible, you know, read it out loud. You finish one and you read the next one. Just do it slowly. And then actually spend maybe 5 or 10 minutes journaling afterwards. And when you're journaling, you're not trying to analyse anything. You're not being the biblical scholar. You're sitting there and you're paying attention to yourself. Which phrases from particular psalms came out to me? And then, you know, maybe doing some journaling about that in terms of your relationship with God. And I think what happens is that some of these psalms, some of these key verses that perhaps we've journaled about, start being with us during the day. You know, "You are my rock," or that one that I talked about this morning, "You make my path level." Mm. So we're taking those little gem lines that have hit us, that have sort of effectively jumped out of the page at us,
yes,
taking it with us through the day. And it's a truth.
Yeah.
It's scriptural truth that's staying with us.
In your experience, have you found this form of prayer, praying the Psalms, particularly beneficial in any circumstance?
Yeah, I think it can be particularly beneficial in those times when you feel you can't pray. So it might be when times are tough. It might be when you're feeling apathetic about life and you just feel tired and just, you know, you're just not up to it. The Psalms can give us a voice. And in times of trouble, when you do have anger or you do have hurt, they enable you to be able to express some of those negative emotions. So perhaps, you know, praying the Psalms is more useful when life's challenging. But I think they're a valuable way to pray, you know, all the time.
Anytime.
And to really get the truth of Scripture into our bloodstreams and to help us to be less self-focused and more God-focused.
I think that's the thing that I'll take out of our conversation is just that.
It's taking us beyond ourselves. By ourselves, we're never more selfish than when we pray. Yeah, you know, we're very self-focused.
That's true.
And so I think what I love about the Psalms is they take us beyond that to the reality of remember what God did in history. Mm. He's doing stuff even now, even though you're not aware of it.
Well, we will continue this series on spiritual disciplines next week and continue actually on prayer, number 3, the prayer of consciousness. A quick hint as to what it's all about?
It's very easy for us to just rush through our day and not really give much of a thought to God. And this whole idea of examining our consciousness is about trying to pause at the end of the day and say, well, Lord, how much did I attend to you during the day? Hmm. You know, X happened or this conversation happened or this was weird. Where were you in the midst of that? And was I aware of that?
I'm looking forward to it. Robin, thanks.
Good. Thanks a lot.
Robin Wrigley-Carr, our guide to the spiritual disciplines, theopenhouse.net.au has the podcast.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit theopenhouse.net.au.